With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
How you say freedom?
Hey, come to DJ.
Freedom.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The way we sing the song. Do
that's how we do it every single time.
Old McDonald, remember
have
him?
Have fun.
A lot of kids don't know about Old McDonald these
Why?
Days.
You know who I've been? You know who I've been singing about?
Who's that?
The lady who's going to be coming around the mountain when she comes.
Oh,
and
I love
her. She's going to be riding. I was singing to
Six
Holly.
Six White Horses.
Like,
can you imagine?
I'm racking my brain for a song for her, and that one just popped right in. And I said, she'll be riding six white horses when she comes, and
when
we'll all
comes.
Go out to greet her when she comes. And I'm like,
is she
riding, what the fuck is she doing?
Is she riding them, like, is she sort of lengthwise across them, six white horses?
I think her
like,
legs are spread onto
all the
each
way
of the,
over. Yeah. So she's straddling six complete horses.
She'll be straddling six white horses
stupid.
When she comes.
What? She's jumping around to all of them as she goes.
Oh, like
oh, see,
gymnast.
I thought she was in like a sort of cart and they're pulling it. And
yeah,
that's
she's in
what,
a carriage and they're
okay.
pulling. Do you think
well, that's
we
the
never,
end of
we
that.
Don't we never find out her name?
No,
and
we don't know where she's going and what she's doing.
We're joining the song late
in media res.
Because I was thinking, yeah. Am I forgetting something? No, it just starts with she'll be riding
yeah.
6 foot. Yeah,
like I guess the asking her to come has already occurred.
You're like ago. You're yeah. turning a corner, and two people are already discussing this woman.
Yeah, yeah, it's exciting actually.
No, I mean they drop you right into the middle of the song.
You're
it's,
playing
it's amazing.
Catch up.
Stuff's already happening.
You yeah. have to act like you know who they're talking about.
It's like Pulp Fiction with just like things out of order, and you're just mm-hmm. like, oh my god, I'm putting this together.
What about that song? Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. What's that one?
Yeah, we never find out.
Is yeah. it her?
Could
from
be
the horses?
From the song. She came to visit Dinah.
Crossover.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
extended Dinaverse, I guess.
Yeah,
it includes
absolutely.
She'll be coming.
I think
around
it's
the
extended right. She-verse.
Oh yes. Good songs. Good songs.
Great old.
Really good songs. These are the songs of my youth.
But to my point earlier, kids today, they're too busy with TikTok to listen to songs.
I know.
Like these great, wonderful songs of our youth.
These songs are great.
Oh,
here's another one I was young.
Yeah. When I was young, I used to listen to songs like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Yeah. I used to listen to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Mm. Yeah. These are real songs.
Two great, distinct melodies.
Songs that taught you something and also told a story.
I used to listen to Baba Black Sheep. I loved that one melody.
I know.
If it deviates, not a fan.
I was playing this like toddler playlist on Spotify, and there was that song, The Ants Go Marching One by One, Hurrah, Hurrah.
Right.
Okay. So it rhymes with the number. They do a little rhyme at the end with each new number. So the ants go marching one by one. The little ones, like the ants go marching one by one. The little ones stop to have some fun, and they all go marching down to the ground to get out of the rain. Okay. Then it went to the ants go marching seven by seven. Hurrah, hurrah. The ants go marching seven by seven. Hurrah, hurrah. The ants go marching seven by seven. The little ones stop to pray to heaven, and they all went. I went, what did he stop to do?
I thought.
Pray to, well, I guess it's better than him dying and going to heaven.
Which is where I thought it was headed.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. The little one died and went to, oh. God.
The little one's got a lot on his plate.
I just was like, he's praying, he's closing a door, he's doing all of these things that are rhyming with numbers.
Do you think this is the same little one that asks everybody to roll over? It's part of the extended little one verse?
Yeah, for sure. It's a good one, song, Paul. By the what way. I need to write that one down.
What is that one?
You need to write it down.
Roll over.
They roll in the bed and the little one said, roll over.
And they all rolled over and one fell out and two in the head and the little one said, roll over. You're going to know all of these.
I don't think I know that song. And well, I don't think I'll ever sing it.
You are going to sing it in about 6 months.
You're going to sing it.
No, never.
You're going to sing that song.
You're going to sing it in 6 months. Emmy's going to be so happy.
And it's going to be a number one hit.
Yeah. No, you're going to sing it publicly.
You're going to go to a studio. You're going to lay down, roll over. Orchestral track.
That would be so lame.
I would love it. What?
I just put out one single in my career.
And it's reboot.
It's an orchestral version. Roll over.
Reboot.
I call covers reboots. Yeah.
Did you know, Scott, you probably know this. Maybe you know this too, Lauren. Back in the old Tin Pan Alley days.
I'm out.
Somebody would put.
And for this reason, I'm out.
Somebody would write a song and then every popular singer would do a cover of it. They'd do their own version of it. And then like one person's cover would be the most popular one. But there would be multiple versions of the same song out at the same time.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I didn't really realize this, but I've noticed that when I'm searching for an oldie, that there are like many renditions. But I never really put it together or thought about it. That was like a sort of intentional thing to see which one would pop.
It's just for grabs.
I think it also went into the 60s too, where like Bob Dylan, a lot of his songs were written for other people to sing them and they became hits for other people, even though he sang them himself on albums, you know, like 8 Miles High and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
he sang 8 Miles High.
Well, didn't he? No, sorry. Roger McGuinn wrote that. Yeah. In fact, I saw Roger McGuinn three nights in a row and every single night he went, "This is a song about a horse."
What?
What?
No, actually, the song about a horse was a different song. The 8 Miles High intro was, "This is about a plane ride I took."
The plane only went up 8 miles?
I just loved his stage
or
pattern.
Is that,
it was always the same, and it was always one sentence.
Wait, 8 miles
he always delivered
good.
It with that same urgency?
Yeah, this is a song about a horse. This is a song about a plane ride I took. It's like, I don't need any context. You know? I can enjoy 8 miles high without knowing it's about a plane ride.
I'm a little curious, I guess.
Kelly Clarkson, when she sings her famous song, she goes, "This is a song about some eyes."
Since you've been gone is about some eyes?
Behind those hazel eyes.
Oh, that's her famous song?
This is a song about someone who's been gone.
This is a song about you. That's how I would choose it.
And what you did. What I did.
This is a song where I'm catching you up.
This is when Gautier sings. He goes, "This is a song about somebody I used to know."
I also like when stage patter is like longer and then it leads to the big hit single thing. So like in the Gautier example, it would be like him telling a long, really boring story about, you know, I was in Marrakesh.
Why does it have to be boring?
Why is that boring? That actually already started really interestingly. He's in Marrakesh.
Really?
What if he says?
Well, if he was in Montana, I might be a little less excited.
What if he says, all right,
we have fans in Montana, Lauren.
I'm going to tell you the story behind the song, but I'm going to keep it kind of boring. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how the show works.
We're having a funny conversation.
That really did feel like I was a ghost.
I've had that happen already in the first 9 minutes of this. No, I've had that happen already. Yeah.
By the way, Paul, the lighting on you, we're on Zoom today. Well, let's not even.
Let's be real. My nose is running like a faucet, my friends.
And not a faucet that's been turned off. No, a faucet that's been turned on.
Good catch.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Paul, the lighting on you, you do look like a ghost. You look very pale and wan.
I mean, the outdoor light, I'm sitting right by the window.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm getting a lot of nice natural light in here.
You are, but for some reason on my computer screen, it looks, you look
white. You have to wipe the jizz off the screen.
Oh, here we go.
For once. But okay, here's my point.
Please.
What if Gautier, he introduces the song because he wants to keep the song interesting.
Yeah.
He warns everyone, hey, I'm going to tell you the story behind the song, but I'm going to actually keep it kind of dull so that it doesn't render the song superfluous.
Yeah.
Right.
So you will get some behind the scenes info, but it's all going to be boring shit, like about the weather, what I had for breakfast.
Paul, what would you rather? Would you rather hear a story or hear a song?
Ooh, I mean, it depends on the storyteller. It depends on the singer.
But okay, so the world's greatest storyteller versus the world's greatest singer.
So J.K. Rowling.
Versus.
What's her alias? What's her AKA name?
Oh.
Robert Goldblatt or MacGyver? Something?
I don't know. What did she write under that alias?
Wait, she has like another alias?
Yeah.
Isn't J.K. Rowling not her name, I would assume?
I don't know.
Just kidding, Rowling is her name?
She wrote a bunch of mystery novels or something under a male alias.
Well, that's probably where she learned that.
And don't worry, they're all about, they have trans stuff in them. I would say,
were those books successful? Is the question. What?
I think she put them out under the alias because she didn't want a bunch of J.K. Rowling fans to buy it, expecting, you know, wizard shit and wands and stuff like that. But then I think her alias got revealed before it ever even came out. So it happened anyway or something.
Well, you know.
Like, why aren't there wizards and wands in here?
Yeah. You do one thing and you do it well.
One wand, and that's five wizards.
Want. Yep. It's a good
and
show.
They fight over it.
Now that's a book.
Now
that's a book.
Is it like Hungry Hungry Hippo style?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a wand in the middle.
And someone gets eliminated.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Does that happen in Hungry Hungry Hippos?
It's not really a story.
Wait, is it a song though?
It goes like this.
Hungry, hungry
hippos. No, so I just saw on like my friend's page, she posted like a old post from like years ago where she and her friends did humans doing Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Did I just tell you about this or I was telling Mike about this?
No, I've never heard about
so
this.
So it's a really funny video. It's like all the people are, okay, so each person has a partner. And so like they're down like a wheelbarrow, but they're holding on to like a... like a little board on wheels, like, you know, those little things with handles, scooters or whatever.
Sure.
And then they have their hands on that and their legs are being held up into the air and they're being pushed into the center of the circle where there are balls and they have to try to grab them and bring them to their side.
Using their mouths or just?
Using their hands.
Oh, that's not Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Not Hungry Hungry Hippos, dear. It's hard to say for me.
Make them marbles and then make them catch them with their teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm into
and it. Choke on them?
Yeah.
And choke on them and lose their teeth.
And choke on their pride.
Make them bite down the marbles and choke on them.
That gives me a bad feeling.
So are they on like hand trucks? Like how do they, because otherwise.
I believe that was mentioned in the story.
The scooters that I'm trying to describe, we used to use them in gym class in elementary school. And I don't know if there's a thing that you used to use like that, where it's basically a plastic board with handles on the side and four wheels on the bottom, like the bottom of a hamper or something. It's like, and you are laying your chest onto the plastic and holding onto the sides, and then you're being pushed into the center. And then you're
like the thing grabbing. Like a mechanic uses?
Yeah, but not exactly. It's like a half the size. It's a square.
Is it a skateboard with a handle?
No, it's a square.
It's square, so equidistant on each side.
Exactly the same on all four sides.
Wow.
And anyone can measure it, and it's going to be proven true.
I've
definitely told this story that when I was in fifth grade, we used to play with those on, like, free day in gym class.
Yeah.
And I was racing my friend around the gym. I was basically running with my legs, but then using the scooter down. It's like you're in a sort of pike position. Mm-hmm. And I flew straight into the wall. My glasses went into my forehead and had blood dripping down. And it was a terrifying ordeal.
One of your many head injuries as a child.
Yes, 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 yes. So many.
I, of course, used to do handcart races when I worked in a warehouse of a payroll company.
Doodah.
Yeah. Yep. I love those things.
What is
that? The pallet jack. It was so much fun to ride the pallet jack.
Yeah. Ride the pallet jack.
Tell me all about what that is.
Well, it's my series of books that I write under a pseudonym. I'm a lady.
Your name's Pallet Jack?
Named Jacqueline Pallet.
Did you work in a warehouse, Paul?
For a brief time, yes.
Yeah, me too.
For a brief time.
Maybe people must have been so happy to have you around the warehouse being funny.
Oh, boy, did they. They were like, here he comes, the clown.
Sometimes I would have to deliver the mail to people and or packages or something that we would get in the warehouse, and I'd have to go up to the other floors and like deliver them. And I was always like, hey, I'm not just a warehouse guy.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a regular person, just like you office people.
I'm so much more than this. I can do whatever you can do, I bet.
That was when
unless it involves thinking and using a computer, because I only want to do musicals. That's what you were thinking.
Yeah. That sounds like you.
That's when I was a temp and I would just get put into weird random jobs. But to be a temp, you have to take like a typing test. And I remember I got, it was all computerized, and I got off at one point. Yeah. I can't remember why. You're supposed to like type out a piece of paper that they give you and they time you. And I got it off. And so like everything was gibberish when I turned it in. And the person taking the test, because I got one thing off, and I'm pretending to type. I got one thing off.
Oh, you can't see what it's typing.
Yes. You can't see what you're typing. So it messed up everything. Fuck. So the entire thing was gibberish. And I said, oh, I mean, I think I got one thing wrong and it did all that. And she goes, yeah, you're probably fine. And she just gave me like
well, because normally you can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think is a key detail.
Yeah, exactly.
Key detail.
It's a key detail.
But also, like, what's the worst that's going to happen is the company that hires the temp for a day or two is going to call them and say, you sent us a bad temp. And they'll be like, oh, no, we're so sorry.
Sorry that 18-year-old in the pool of other 18-year-olds wasn't quite up to snuff for you.
Yeah. But see, I always felt like, and I had a lot of friends who temped, I always felt like that was more stressful in a weird way than, I mean, many jobs stressed me out. But the idea of temping was stressful because it's like you go in and you don't know anything and you have to do things and act like you know stuff. That seems really hard.
There's no pressure on you because no one cares what you do.
So they don't give you any assignments?
No. I worked at the payroll company for like a summer. And by the end of it, everyone, you know, I knew my duties and all that kind of stuff. But who gives it? Like,
no one cares. The bar is low for
you. No one cares about their
job.
I
did ruin people's lives with my incompetence. people didn't get their checks. People didn't get operations.
I typed gobbledygook for names.
Banks refused to cash checks.
Did you temp, Paul?
No, never.
Why not?
Never.
Why not?
I was a retail guy. That was always my job. I was a retail guy.
You'd be so good at retail because you're just personable and you want people to feel good, you know.
For a while, yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
And then
but now you're not.
It depends on how long you let how long there's a cutoff for how long you can work one of those jobs.
Yeah.
And retain like a pleasant personality.
Is it because you get tired of what you're selling or you get tired of the experience?
Everything. You get tired of living your life and being who you are.
Hey, there's an easy solution for that.
Hey.
Oh my God.
I know it's painless and it brings on many changes.
What
about you, Lauren? So, were you ever a temporary?
No, but I was temporary at every place I worked.
Yeah.
Because I quit.
Other than movie star. That's
perfect. Well, I did. I, of course, worked on the boat dock and I worked at a coffee shop for about a couple days. I basically spent more time training than I did working there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really scared because
scared
I don't drink coffee and there was in New York and everyone's like, latte or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you got it. And then I would just be like, and then panic and take forever and stress out. And of course, one time I dropped a bagel and it was the last one of that kind and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that was really stressful.
Like it went extinct?
Yeah. It was a super dino bagel. And
with dino DNA?
It was
DNA?
The last one. This I know, it had dino DNA.
The last of its kind.
It connected back. Like, if you had cracked it open, it was basically like an amber, like, you know, thing with a bug inside, but it was
amber.
Amber.
Sorry, I'm doing Boston Rob from Survivor.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So,
amber.
I haven't seen Survivor, but I've been told I would like it.
I think you would.
At this point, I don't know what you're waiting on.
I just don't care.
22 years later?
There's no time. It's never too late, right?
No, nothing. It's never too late to learn a new skill.
Yeah.
Just, I want to just say one thing, which is that.
Okay, say one thing and then we have to take a break. Make sure it's good. Make it good.
Well, it might lead to another conversation.
Okay, but we'll do it on the other side.
Mm. Okay, fine. So the other day I went to a paint store. Coincidentally, this is the paint store where in the alley behind a Beastie Boys video was shot. I just learned on Doughboys from Art and Marine talking about it. It's Jill's Paint in Atwater. There was a Beastie Boys video shot. I know
that paint, and they have the big mural.
Yeah. And it's a very nice paint shop. It's just like a kind of a hardware store. And I.
How interesting, Rain Man.
I just mean it's not like fancy, very but okay.
Store. Very good paint store.
you sound
did I just say it
like
multiple times?
No, you're just like, it's a very interesting paint store.
I hate myself.
No,
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Actually, I love myself.
And you. Could instantly tell how many there were.
Well, they dropped paint chips and then I ate them.
Oh no!
Oh
yeah, because I thought they were chips.
Yeah.
But anywho, I had learned on a blog of a interior designer that I like called Emily Henderson. I'm not British, but that is her name. She posted years ago on her blog about this idea, and I don't know if she invented it, but from the blog I remember thinking that she did. To if you're going to paint a room, you get like poster board and you paint pieces of board, the different colors, and then you can hold them up in the different light, you know, sunlight over here, dark, you know, whatever.
Sunlight over here.
This. Sunlight over here. and I thought it was such a great idea. So then I was going to do that when I'm going to paint a room in my house, which I'm doing now. And I went to this paint store and now they sell foam boards cut to little squares and they have a little label on the back that says, what kind of paint is this? Where did I put it? What was the date? And I thought that was really cute, but I also wondered if they stole that from her. And then I also just wanted to say it's great because if you are someone who's interested in this kind of stuff, you can save all the colors that you've painted. And then later you might want to do a different room and go, oh, this would actually be good in here. And I don't have to buy the paint sample again. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to share that little hot tip.
It's a good tip for our listeners.
You know, you don't care about that stuff.
I used to paint my own place a lot.
Yeah.
And so that would have come in handy.
I'm not going to paint it myself because I, various reasons, one being I can't move the bed. I need to hire someone to do it.
Hire me.
You can't move the bed.
Yeah, I can.
Scott, have you seen this bed?
Sweetie.
I can move. I guarantee you I can move any bed on earth.
Oh, baby.
So you're going to come over and move the bed.
How much do you want to bet that I can't move the bed?
$1,000. Yeah. Same.
Okay. So if I come over and move the bed, I win $1,000. But if I can't move the bed,
you have to move it fully away from the wall into the center of the room in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
In 10 minutes. Why is there a time limit?
Because you can't take all day. I don't want to hear you huffing and puffing in there for hours.
Good catch.
All right. We have to take a break.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And all we're right. back. And
yeah, I know.
We're talking about paint.
Well, we were talking about a weakling you are.
Yeah, that's what we were really talking about. That was the subtext.
Hey.
You're going to take all day to move a bed?
He's going to just
all I it. Wanted was 23 hours, not all day.
Okay. You're going to stay up for 23 hours moving a bed inch by inch. Fine.
And I know your place is haunted. And if I stay the entire night, I win $10,000.
That's true.
Yeah. Remember when it used to be $1 million if you stayed overnight in a haunted house?
Inflation, man. It's gone down to 10,000.
It's only 10 now.
Yeah. This is what I want to say to boomers. Like when you were young, it was
$1 million. $1 million.
Yeah.
Bob Hope.
But I just want to touch back on the paint topic for a second.
Yeah.
When you are in your home, do you think at all? I know Paul does. Do you think at all about decorating or you just go, someone else has got that covered? Like, do you go, I wish this was like this. I wish this thing was like this.
In the first place that I bought my condo, I decorated it myself. And I was watching Trading Spaces a lot. This is in the turn at the turn of the century.
So your room was like covered in seashells glued to the wall.
Yes, and straw. but I think they, because it's on camera, I think they would like use these bright colors and stuff like that. So I got tricked into that thinking like, oh, okay, I'll paint one wall red. And I painted a lot of it this pale yellow. Ugh. And it just was bad. And
sounds horrible.
And
it sounds like a disgusting combo.
It was, and then some brown as well. It was terrible.
What?
And so now I, and also
Trading
the place
Space is a prank show.
Yeah,
it kind of is, because like truly people would be so upset when they would go back in their house. Cause
it's
it would
the first
be,
prank show
be
where
it was so cheap.
First prank show where they pranked the home viewer.
Yeah. And the home
fucking with us.
They were pranking homes.
This guy, there was one designer who would always put like little like Humpty Dumpties around the room. It was like just really weird or like very farm themed.
That's he very
was,
specific.
To be
though.
Fair,
I mean,
was an egg.
I don't know that it was Humpty Dumpty. Huh?
He was an actual egg.
He was an egg and it was kind of his fetish, I guess.
And
I guess.
No one mentioned it ever. There was a big egg man who wore pants.
Yeah.
Well, he's very fragile.
But so finally when I moved to a different place, we just keep everything white. Basically, or off-white.
Yeah,
it's just so much better and so much calmer, and way better.
Mm. And I like colors.
Yeah, you like. Well, I mean, you have. It depends on the space too. You have the where you are right now.
Yeah. Well, my.
I'll just say your address if that's okay.
Oh my god.
But your podcast space has great wallpaper, and I think if it's like a smaller room that's used for a special purpose or like a powder or something like that, you can have great wallpaper. You know.
Yeah, if you're
I've done some wallpaper.
Certain,
Or
if, if you're the director of powder.
Powder.
Or if you're Daniel Powder.
Yeah,
or
bad
Susan
day.
Powder.
Do you think Powder ever saying you had a bad day?
Maybe.
When he's like getting hit by lightning, he's like.
The character of Powder?
You had a bad day. Yeah.
I had a bad day.
Do you think that song was inspired by Powder?
Probably, because the singer's name is that. So, yeah, that makes sense. The song would be inspired by
he
a character named something similar to his.
Everybody was calling him Powder, and it made him have a bad day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the story of
he's
the
like,
song.
No, I have hair. I have tan skin.
Yeah. We have no idea what he looks like, by the way.
Oh, I know exactly what he looks like.
You do. Exactly. You could draw
show
him.
Show me, no.
You could
show
draw
me
him
five,
inch
show
for
me
inch.
Five pictures of different people, and one of them is Daniel Powder, and I'll tell you which one is Daniel Powder.
Classic lineup.
I really wish I could get a lineup going really fast without you seeing.
Just pick five red. You can just pick five random pictures. No, four random ones and one Daniel Powder.
And then we'll see if we can. This would be a great three chart to see if Laura and I can identify who Daniel Powder is.
Honestly, I'm looking at him now. I wish I could send you
that game.
Well, what if I look at five other people?
Yeah, that'll be fun too.
I typed in
the reverse line.
What if I run around all the bases now?
Because honestly,
we see how I do with the bat.
Wait, Scott, you said he's tan, and he is really tan. And then I typed in tan men, and that's like a name of a Japanese dish, and that's all it's about. I'm like, they don't have one picture of a tan man.
And it's so tan men is just it's in another okay, got it. Tan men.
It's a ramen soup.
Okay.
But I'm going, I want to see a tan man. And I want to see multiple.
Yeah. I want to see a tan man.
Yeah, and you want to see them together or separately.
Yeah.
I want to see a tan man eating tan men.
I want to see tan men eating tan men.
And
I
want to
see
Daniel
five
Powder.
Tan men eating tan men, listening to Daniel Powder while watching Powder.
Yes.
So they're playing the song dream. Over the movie.
Is this a t-shirt?
Yeah, that's a t-shirt, but it has to have that sort of screen where, remember like in the 90s when like t-shirts had like a sort of 3D, there was a period of time where it was trendy to have like a little 3D image on your t-shirt. I mean, I was a child, so I had this. And it was like, if you turn one way, it kind of looked like something else.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It was like a little piece of
like a
plastic kind of, yeah, like kind of attached to your shirt. It wasn't a hologram. It was like scritchy scratchy, like lines on it.
It was lenticular.
Okay. And
that's
then
what
you
that's
have,
called.
It'd be like a cat. It'd be like, meow.
When you first look at it, it's like a nice kitty. And then when you go sideways, the cat seems very angry.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
Or the reverse could happen to you, I guess, where you're like, that's an angry cat. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. No, it's a nice cat.
Thank God.
Yeah. Fuck. That's wild.
It's pretty crazy, man, what t-shirts can do these days.
I remember when there were picture books when I was little that had, sometimes it would just be the cover, but sometimes it would be the whole book where it would be all the sort of lenticular, but the image didn't change, but it had depth. You know what I mean? It looked kind of 3D and it was very satisfying scratching feeling and sound that you could make on it.
Yeah.
But I remember being fascinated by them because they were beautiful. They were really beautiful to look at.
I have a question about children's books that Lauren maybe can answer. And Paul feel free to weigh in.
I mean, I was a child.
But when you were a child,
you thought like a child.
I thought and acted like a child. When I became a man, I put away chopsticks.
Yeah. Okay, so I've been reading... I've been reading these children's books that we have to my daughter.
So weird.
Okay, so when I was a kid and I read children's books to myself, I don't remember all of them trying to make the adult cry.
Oh my God, they're so... These books are the fucking tenderest books on the planet. I swear to God.
Like, I just
Corduroy? Corduroy?
Oh, I haven't read Corduroy.
It's so sweet. It's funny. Well, you know what? She's also at the age where, like, when Holly was her age and I would open Corduroy and I'm like, too many words, not going to bother. Right. Like, but now Holly, like, wants to sit for a longer story. So I'm like, I'll read these longer stories. And that one's not super long, but it's just got, you know, some of the pages are a little more involved. And I'm like, this book is so sweet. It's just about this sweet little bear and this girl goes and buys him and then they're friends. It's just nice.
Well, the ones that I've been reading are all about, like, me, the reader, because I read them out loud, by the way. I don't just read them silently.
And she's just like hoping to take something away from the experience.
But when I read them to her, it's all about like me, the reader, and how I feel about her and stuff. They're all designed to be like, I think you're so special and you're a miracle and all this kind of stuff.
Know.
And it's like, hey, ease up. Ease up. I just want to read a story about a bear or something.
Forever my baby, you're my baby, you'll be.
Oh, I'm afraid of that one where it's then like the adult person at the, like it's all about a baby and then the baby's taking care of the parent at the end and they're like holding them like a baby. And I'm like, this is fucking weird.
It's like, I want to be in charge here. I don't want to show weakness to my baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to show weakness.
I don't want to be a cuck.
Do you have that book, On the Night You Were Born?
I think so.
It's like polar bears dancing on the cover, and it's like, on the night you were born, there was never anyone in the whole world ever like you, and you're the most special person in the world. And the wind whispered your name, and then let's whisper it together. And now Holly whispers her name on that page. It's like really cute.
But I so book
and she
authors,
says it before I get to it. She's like, Holly.
book authors, stop doing this. Like, just write a book about a pirate or something, you know? It's like,
I think, you know, you can get books like that for sure.
Talking about pirates, like, kids don't need to have pirates explained to them. They just seem to be on board right away.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But everybody's so worried about if two men are kissing, and you have to explain it to your baby, to your child.
I know.
I never thought
about
that.
There's so many things like that.
Yeah, all the concepts that kids grasp without, they don't give instantly. A shit. They don't care.
But here's my question, because I was reading some books about animals, and the only animals.
Which ones?
Well, what do we got? We got horses.
That's your question? What are they?
No. The only animals she's seen are two dogs. Two very specific dogs.
In person, right.
Yes, in person. So when I'm reading these books, I'm like, oh, the cat goes meow, right?
Sure.
I'm like, she doesn't know what a fucking cat is.
I know, but she's going to start to learn all that. It's actually kind of weird. I thought the same thing.
I also feel like that's what the picture is for.
Well, but that's what I find really fascinating is that, and I think I mentioned this, but like Holly, I was very shocked when like she was noticing all types of dogs as being dogs.
Right.
And all cartoons of dogs as being dogs. And like she knows
that
any
dogs
form,
have like this type of nose and four legs.
But like if they're tiny, if they're huge, like she knows what they are when we're out. It's just that's amazing to me.
But cats
and
dogs.
And she never
are very
pointed
similar.
To anything else and said it was a dog.
Not once.
Hmm. Not a chair.
Not once.
Okay.
She's never once called something other than its name. She's never once done that. She always calls things exactly what they
are. Exactly what it is. But a cat and a dog are so similar. Like, really, what are the differences when you really break it down?
Names.
Yeah.
Like, they're
the exact same thing.
No.
This is bold.
I don't think they're really
the exact same
like if you thing. Looked if you saw a cat and a dog, could you tell which was which?
I wouldn't want to because I wouldn't want to be rude. But wait.
Tiger and wolf. What's
Stephanie on with Wild Horses, she was like talking about when she was reading these books with her kids when they were really little. She like didn't know the difference between a goat and a sheep. And it made me laugh so much. And then she took them like a petting zoo and she was like, I don't know what each one is. But now they're supposed to know what everything is. It's just like
some are very hard, like a mongoose or something. I don't know that if I saw a mongoose, would I be able to say, that's a mongoose?
Ricky Ticky Tavy, my dear boy.
I would say it's a Ricky Ticky Tavy. But would I say it's a mongoose? I don't know.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. Well, yeah,
like,
you would.
The fun is going to the zoo and all the animals can be really weird. Like when watching Holly look at I never know how to say it, but like a tapir, T-A-P-I-R.
Tapir, yeah.
I'm like, that's a really weird animal. And she was kind of weirded out. She was like, it's like so strange. Yeah. And like, I don't really know what it is.
Well, we have these cards. They're like flashcards with animals that Emerald likes to look at because they're black and white and very striking. And there's, you know, there's good ones. There's skunk. There's penguin. She really likes penguin.
Perfect for black and white, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then and it's like penguin, skunk, orca, stuff like that. And then suddenly there's ring-tailed lemur.
Ooh.
They make some fucking leaps with this stuff. I feel the same way. Oh, I'm going,
yeah, it looks
really
good.
I'm just like, why are we jumping? Now she has to know what a ring-tailed lemur is.
Yeah.
Why don't we just say lemur? Why don't we just go, like, let's just kind of narrow it. Like, let's just broaden it a little bit because sometimes it gets very specific.
Let's just say monkey or something. You know
like,
what I mean?
Even monkey, gorilla, I start to go, now I got all these types of monkeys.
Orangutan.
And apes. And
here's my theory. Okay, so I learned all the animals from my A to Z book where it was
A to Z for our UK listeners.
Thank you.
And this was like last year. Focused on that and you were like,
It was during the pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But where it's like, you know, A is for aardvark and all that kind of stuff.
True.
There should only be 24 animals and they should all be a different letter. So you can just memorize that book.
Do you know there are 26 letters in the alphabet?
What? Wait, wasn't the show 24 about the alphabet?
Were you accounting for X and Z and saying, cut those out? We don't need.
Yeah, we don't need
zebra
those.
Is an animal.
Zebra is key. You're right.
It's too good to waste. Too good to waste.
Yeah, but we need to get rid of X.
X is a really tricky word with learning. I mean, letter with learning words.
Like, why do we need X? We have a CK.
We should make up a bunch of.
Louis CK.
We should make up a bunch of words.
His name should be Louis X.
That start with X. And then just kind of like get those into the culture so that we can just start having fun things on the page. Like a xylophone is not worthwhile. Yeah.
We have xylophone, we have xenophobes.
And we have x-ray and we have exophobes. X-ray.
Yeah. It's not enough. It's not enough. We need more. That's why we're saying we want all of our listeners out there to create new words.
But it should be like xenophobe, as like that's what X stands for. Xenophobe.
That's what they need to know.
Yeah, because like, this is the kind of stuff we want them to kind of get.
They don't. Need
everyone
to know what
should be a
is.
Phobia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All phobias. Well, wait. Okay. So on the animals, who are the picks for each letter? Like A, you got to go aardvark because of the double A, right?
Because of the double A, it's so good. And by the way, who's calling an aardvark saying like, oh, I'm going to put a double A at the beginning of this. Like, what lunatic named
that? Yeah, they were just having fun.
I think they were
having fun that day. Yeah, that's true.
But what about anteater? I think anteater is a more fun animal than an aardvark.
Fun in the sense of, like, genocide for ants?
Because of the way that it looks like a vacuum.
It does look like a vacuum. It's probably the animal that looks most like a vacuum out of any... I don't know. Elephant, though. Elephant,
do you know that for the longest time I thought aardvark and anteater were the same thing?
And yeah. I think there's a lot of confusion around
that's
that.
That's why there should only be one. And we eliminate whatever, we make them extinct, whatever the other one is.
Do you know why I thought that? Because of the cartoon, the aardvark and the
ant. I was just going to, I thought you were going to say about Arthur the aardvark.
No, I don't know that guy.
All right. Well, he's a great guy.
Is he the guy from the famous hand?
Yeah. In the fist?
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Now, okay, have you seen the Pride and Prejudice with Tom Wamsgans from Succession?
Oh, my God.
Keira Knightley.
I saw that a million years ago, but when I put together that it was him in that, I wanted to watch that again because I love him.
I saw it for the first time a couple years ago, and it was really enjoyable. So I recommend that rewatch. But
great.
I know that there's a thing that he does with his hand that I remembered. That a lot of people that are fans of that movie remember that and they think it's very romantic. And I forgot to look for it when I watched the movie and I still don't know what it was, but it was apparently a very notable thing that he does.
Oh, I don't remember that.
But I always picture the Arthur hand when I hear
it.
He
does it with her hand or he does it with his own hand?
Like, he does something with his own hand that is apparently very magical.
Magical. It's not him just touching her.
It's something romantic.
Finger banging.
Oh my God. Paul was like, this isn't it. This isn't it. Something else. It
might be finger banging. I mean, there was a finger banging scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Well,
and I
guess
I didn't put it 10
minutes.
It's all about how they won't go all the way, but they'll do everything but.
Yes.
Right?
So there's an anal sex scene.
All right. We have to take a break.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, we're back, and we have some voicemails, right?
Yeah.
People call us. We're cool.
Our phones are always ringing.
Off the hook.
If you would like to leave us a voicemail, you can just dial Hag Claims 8, the number 8.
Just dial that. Don't dial just anything else.
No. A wild hag running around killing 8 people.
Nice.
Can you imagine 8 people dying at the same time? That would be crazy.
But at the hand of a hag?
Yeah.
Yeah. I shudder to think.
It'd be crazy. Anyway, we're going to play these voicemails that some people left us. Our producer, Matt, our producer, is going to play them. Hit it, Matt.
Hello, everyone. I love the show. I have a question for everybody. I actually took Paul's recommendation to read the Alan Carr book on how to stop smoking, and I have quit vaping for like a month now. So it was a really great recommendation. Thank you so much, Paul. And my question is, for Scott and Lauren, did they have a book that really changed their life, like this one has for me, and I assume for Paul? And Paul, did you have another book that was really effective in your life? Love the show. Love you guys.
That was such a sweet message. First of all, yeah. Congrats on that.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Congrats.
Congrats on leaving that message.
Her voice reminded me of this number that we used to call in Chicago when I was in college. There was this number, and it was this, I don't know who did this. Maybe someone out there knows about this. It was the cafeteria lady, the lunch lady. You call her, and she had a really sweet accent like that and a really sweet voice. And she would say, hey, baby, the lunch tomorrow is going to be mashed potatoes. We got green beans. We have a really nice piece of chicken. And you are just going to love it. I love you so much. I hope you have a great day. And then you just hang up. And that was it. It was just... That was it. What, she just made a different hell? Lunch what? Every day.
It was for your school or?
No, it was funny. I don't know. It was just like it was just random. Every day she changed it.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that funny?
I kind of love it.
I wonder if anyone out there knows what I'm talking about.
It's like movie phone for lunch.
Yeah, it was really fun.
But you can't get that lunch.
Do you have a book, Scott?
I remember reading a book about... This is in my early 20s. I don't know the title, but I remember it was about relationships, and it was about, I remember it being about how like there are different types of people in the world. Shit. What was it about? I just remember the gist.
So it changed your life.
The gist of it. The gist of it is like a successful relationship is usually with two people who have a lot of stuff going on, interesting in their own lives, and then they meet up at the end of the day and they check in with each other about their own lives and they hear about each other's own lives. And a less
like
successful...
Like not being codependent.
Yes, I think it was about codependence. It was a less successful relationship is two people who are constantly wondering what the other person is doing and or like sitting around the house letting the other person shine and while they don't do anything or whatever. And so I remember that being kind of like, yes, that's the type of relationship I want is with someone who has their own thing going on and is not just sitting around waiting for me to do stuff, you know? So
yeah. I'm trying to think if I, you know, I think I had different moments with books where I was like read like Eckhart Tolle or whatever. Then I was like, yes. And then I stopped, you know, thinking about any of that. So I don't know that there was like a book that really stuck with me forever or that changed something for me in that way, other than just being books I enjoyed reading. Maybe one day I'll have that book.
The only other book I can think of that kind of had a big impact on my life was, it was a story. It was the greatest story ever told.
Yeah. It was about a carpenter, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was about a carpenter from a place called Nazareth. I do remember a friend of mine giving me Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
I read that.
Which was supposed to be some kind of, you were supposed to get something out of that
mind
book.
Blowing, yeah.
I remember liking it, but I remember going into it going like, oh, is this about how to fix a motorcycle? And then realizing it was a narrative, like a little ways in. And then kind of reading it and going like, yeah, that was fine. I don't remember a single thing about it. Yeah. I mean, obviously The Fountainhead is how I tried to live my life.
Yeah, of course. Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How to Influence People. What is that book called?
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah. how to
Influence People. It used to be two books and they smashed them together.
Hey, more value for the buck. But yeah, I mean, I don't read a ton of self-help books, so...
Yeah.
I prefer to let other people help me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had periods of time where I enjoy a self-help book, but now's not one of them. And there's not one that really feels like it, you know, like the Eckhart Tolle one was The Power of Now. I remember thinking it was all about like living in the moment. But
why don't you just call it The Nower?
Yeah, like instead of hour?
Yeah, instead of The Power of Now, The Nower.
I prefer the books about pirates and...
What's that?
What's a pirate?
Yeah.
You've never seen a book then, obviously, when you were a little kid about a pirate.
Never seen one.
Yeah, when is the concept of pirates, when is it introduced to people? Because I remember reading Treasure Island and going like, oh, I know what these are.
Well, but it's probably
from a cartoon.
Who cares about pirates? Why are we so obsessed as a culture with pirates?
They
seem to be having
badass.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, they love
and
each other.
They're bad, but they good. They're fun. Other. They're swashbuckling.
You make your own family.
They do.
Yeah, pirates have a chosen family, and I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
All right, let's hear another voicemail, VM, as we call it.
Hello, this is Joe. I had a question. I'm on my way, actually, to quit my job.
Ooh.
And I'm just wondering if the three of you have any good job quitting stories. I'd love to hear it. That's really all. Love you guys.
Wow.
Have a great day. Bye.
Good well, for hope, you.
Joe, I hope that went well.
I think the only job I ever got to quit and not be fired from or have the business go out of business out from under me was when I did telemarketing, which was the worst job I ever had. And there was I worked there for about a year. And then towards the end of the year, I'd gone home for Thanksgiving. This was out here in LA. I'd gone home for Thanksgiving, had a really nice visit with family and friends. Just for a few days. And then when I came back, I had to go back to work and it was payday. And I went in and got my check. And then I went to the threshold of where the phone room was. And I just turned around and left. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't do it anymore.
You didn't get your check?
No, I did get my check.
Oh, okay.
I went and got my check first. And then I left. I didn't say anything to anybody.
Wow.
Nobody ever called. Like nobody cared.
They quiet quit.
I quit as quietly as possible. And I'm sure that happened all the time, that people just didn't show up again.
Yeah, you know when you run a soulless operation.
But it was tough because I had no plan. You know what I mean? I did not have another job lined up. I had no other means of income at the time. But I just could not do it.
I'm trying to think if I have any good stuff. I mean, mostly they just involve me going in and saying like, hey, I got a better job. And them going, yeah, I figured.
Mine were all just me like dreading going with everything in my being every second of the time I wasn't there to the point where I was just like, I have to call them. And then I would quit. And then I would sheepishly go pick up whatever money there was. And that's what I did.
I mean, I used to fantasize about, you know, tearing off my server's apron like Kobe Bryant in the middle of a game, you know, tearing off his jersey and just throwing it, you know, in the middle of the restaurant or whatever. But
yeah,
no, you just kind of just quit and said, hey, I'm moving on. I never really had like a big confrontation with a boss either, really. Oh, I mean, I got fired from Marie Callender's for drinking. We all know that. But
we all know that.
Famous story.
Yeah, by the banana lady.
But you got your revenge with that story.
Oh man, I've been milking that.
It's a famous story now
for 35 years at this point. Did I ever quit Bob and David? No, everything just evaporated. Usually that's in show business. Everything just evaporates.
Yeah. I don't have to quit anymore.
Yeah. Cause they show business quits you.
Yeah.
What a country.
Yep.
Should we play a three-cher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, this three-cher is called This Happened to Me, submitted by Rosalie Mata. You will tell a short memory that happened or didn't happen to you with the other players. Names and dates should match, even if the story is fabricated.
Agreed.
However, if you go with a fake story, it must be an altered scene or plot from a movie. The other players have to guess if that was a real memory or a fabricated one, and if they say it's fabricated, they have to guess the movie the scene is from. Example, it was 1995. My friends decided to pierce my ear at summer camp. Ice was placed on my ear, and then a lemon was placed to catch the needle. This was from Lindsay Lohan's Parent Trap.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone go first? I need a second to think here about a memory.
Okay. I mean, the one thing I can think of that comes to mind immediately is in 1972 when I came back from the Army, my father was the head of a crime family.
Why is that funny to you? Let's examine that. Why is that funny to you? You so are laughing at your family's...
And this happened in 1972?
You're laughing at your family's business. You're laughing at the Army.
You were remembering it happened. In 1972, you remembered when this happened.
I was telling people about it in 1972.
So the story is about you telling the story.
Yeah, it happened in the 40s.
Okay.
Never mind. Okay, let's do this.
No. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm trying to think of either a memory or
how we told all of our memories.
I know we've told all our memories.
Okay. I do have a story. Okay. All right. I was working in a restaurant and a manager came in wearing all yellow and she'd been crying.
The year was 1981.
Mm.
Me and my friend... New Year's Eve, we're playing a video game, and our goal is to turn the game over, which is to reset the score.
Yeah.
You get a score so high that eventually it goes back to zero. Our aim is to do this before the clock strikes 12 at midnight. We are listening to a top 40 radio station.
Mm.
We are playing the game. We're making it happen. We're trading off, passing the controller to each other, and it's getting down to the wire. Exactly at 11 bongs of the clock, we turned the game over. We celebrated, and then we went to sleep.
Wow, that was gripping. That was gripping. I'm going to say that was a real story.
Lauren?
I'm going to say it's not real, and it's from Freaks and Geeks.
Scott is correct. It was a real story.
Wow. You told me it's so fake.
Story, and we did it. And I can't remember the name of the game.
Well, I love it.
But it was like, it was 19- an Intellivision game. Do you remember Intellivision?
Yeah. Terrible controller because it had the disc, right?
Yeah. Intellivision was like, we're going to crush you, Atari.
Nope. Sorry. It's like Arsenio. I'm going to kick Jay's ass. All right.
Here's one.
Did I do it right?
Yeah, you did it right.
That was perfect.
Okay. It sounded like a movie.
When I was a teenager, this is just a small memory. When I was a teenager... Anytime I would be God, I can't do this. Anytime I would be reading a book in public, my people in my town would just like be obsessed with me and talk about me and how I'm a little odd. Sometimes they'd even sing a song about me kind of all together about how I was weird. And they just couldn't put their finger on it, but they always thought something was weird about me. But there really wasn't anything weird. I just liked reading books.
Was this the same town where there was a monster man who lived in a castle?
The Beast. Yeah. He was a guy that I kind of...
But they thought you were weird?
Yeah. They kind of... I know. And then when we were together, it was like, oh, hell broke loose. Like,
he had a candlestick that was alive,
people
right?
People wouldn't shut up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And a talking teapot?
That was just a blip in their lives. They actually got to be people again at a certain point.
Oh, but so they thought you were strange. You were the strange one because you read books.
I know. This is my point, you know?
Yeah.
That's just provincial France.
I think this is a real story.
It is. Yeah.
Okay, good.
That was me and my friends one New Year's Eve.
Okay, I have one.
I forgot all the stories that take place on New Year's Eve.
Okay, when I was 15, my family took a family trip to Australia, down under, as they call it. And we went to the beach one day in Sydney, and I was with some friend. I didn't really know anybody, but I had met some people that day, some like other kids, or, I mean, you know, 15-year-olds. And we were just kind of like playing around, throwing a football around. And then I saw out in the water, I saw it was like a, I could tell it was a body. I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman, like sort of flailing a little bit, like, you know. So, and I was pretty close to it, and I looked back and there wasn't a lifeguard. So I went out there, and it was pretty shallow. So it was like, there was really nothing going on, but it was this girl who had gotten a cramp. And you know, I'm not going to say I saved her life or that she nearly drowned, you know, but, it was, you know, I helped her out at least, you know, and we ended up dating and we got together and all that kind of stuff. Anyway.
I think that's fake, and I think it's Grease.
Yeah, it is Grease.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
I was in the... let's see.
Trying to think of your own memory.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what happened in my life.
Just think of yesterday. What did you do yesterday?
The movie?
I remember no one knew who the Beatles were anymore.
I remember there was one Halloween where me and my friends went out trick-or-treating, and there was this scary house in the neighborhood that we always dared each other, like, go up and touch the door or whatever. And Halloween, it was especially scary to do this. And I remember my friend went up and touched the door, and then a guy came out and he went on a killing spree.
I think that's true.
Wait,
he killed
a die?
Bunch of people. He killed a bunch of people.
Did he kill you?
No.
Oh, cool. Oh,
I was just a witness to all of this.
Oh, you witnessed every single death?
I didn't witness every single death, but I witnessed about 5 deaths, I think, right out there on the street. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay,
cool.
That reminds me of a memory, a real memory from when I was growing up that my friends and I, we loved to hang out, and that's normal, I think. And at the time, a friend was like, do you guys want to see a dead body? And he suggested that we kind of walk along the train tracks and just through the town until we came to where the dead body was.
Oh, so your friend knew that there was a dead body there, not just that, hey, if we walk down the train tracks far enough, we'll probably see one.
I would be worried that he's like asking me, hey, do you want to die right now? And he's taking me to kill me somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. It was that there was really this person who'd passed and they were laying there.
Hmm.
And that really happened.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know.
Oof.
That's crazy. That's real. Insane. That's real.
It is real.
That's real.
It's, you know, kids.
I remember this was probably in the mid 90s. Me and my best friend, his name was Beavis.
Yeah.
We went on a road trip across America. We sort of did America.
Across the whole country.
Yeah. Anyway, there was like an LSD trip and stuff like that, but it was, I don't really remember anything else happening.
I remember when we were kids in Maine and we were little kids. We were like a tight knit group of outcasts, freaks, and nerds. And we found out there was a clown that lived in the sewer. And he would talk to us.
Isn't that weird that always happens?
It was so, this is like the thing. I kids today don't understand, but if you're an 80s kid, you get it.
Yeah.
Clowns were like, they lived exclusively in sewers back then.
They weren't all bad either. Some were fun.
No, they were great. In fact, if you ever had, like, if you were the proprietor of a circus and you needed to hire clowns, you would just go to the sewers. And you'd go like, hey,
throw in a manhole. And
And they wanted jobs. They were kind of jobs. Waiting. Yeah.
Their dream was to live in an apartment. So,
yeah.
So this
now they're all in
the
high rises because they made so much money.
Exactly.
Don't even get me started on the clown uprising.
So I remember this rising one clown up, was like real bad. And then we felt stupid because even though one of us did get killed, he turned out to be just a big spider from outer space.
Okay, that's crazy that you didn't realize that.
He looked like, I'm telling you, if you saw him, he looked like a clown.
Okay. Do you have a picture?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, yeah, that looks like a clown.
That looks exactly like, wait. You turn to the side. It's lenticular. It's a spider from outer space.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't, turn. Yeah.
We never looked at him sideways.
Oh.
Okay. We always looked at him straight on.
I have one more.
Deep in the eyes. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So back in like, this was the 90s. I was like, I guess you would say I was like a paleontologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved dinosaurs.
Sure.
And I sort of
Dino DNA.
Right. I got involved in this like, wasn't like a museum. It was like, it wasn't an amusement park. It wasn't a zoo. It was kind of like all of the above combined, which I thought was a great idea. And I sort of was brought in to like, check out, you know, these dinosaurs that have been made from the DNA that they found in like amber and fossils and stuff.
Whoa.
I know. And
that's
it was
a cool way to do it.
It was a really big thing. So like we kind of made dinosaurs and they were aggressive and
kind of
every couple of years, one of them would get out or be like kind of untamable.
Well, they probably shut that program down, right?
No, they kept doing it.
They kept doing it?
Yeah, like kind of different iterations.
Did they eventually clone humans?
No, they kind of just kept thinking it'd be fun to see a Triceratops. No,
they did. I'm pretty sure they did.
Nope. They just thought it'd be cool to see a T-Rex.
Okay, never mind. Yeah.
No, now, they never, ever did that.
Pretty
as
sure
as a paleontologist.
No, they never, because this was just like my job.
Right. As a paleontologist who worked at this place, did you ever meet any stupid-ass girls who worked the computers?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was this girl who was like always real upset. Uggos. Okay, well, I don't really think of people that way.
Just idiot, stupid,
but she was
ugly.
Always scared. Yeah. But yeah, she didn't die. So there's a chance that I'll see her again. Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. Good story. Yeah, that's real. That's real.
True, obviously.
That's
true.
That's how we play that game. And thank you to whoever sent that in. If you'd like to send us a
three-shirt,
you can write to freedomusa@gmail.com. Listen, that's our show, everybody.
That's our show, yeah. If you want to hear ad-free episodes of this, go to Stitcher Preem or CBB World. And that's going to do it for us. And look, hey, keep leaving those voicemails because we just answered two of them. We're not liars.
No.
We're not liars.
We're not. We tell the truth always.
We
always.
Love to tell the truth.
And then there's another podcast that always tells lies.
Yep.
Yeah.
But look, sorry about the Zoom. Needs must as the devil drives and all that. Next time. We'll be back.
Needs must as the devil drives.
You heard me.
All right.
But we're going to be back in person next time. I swear to you.
Please, give us a chance. Give us one more chance. Please, baby. Please.
Please.
This is what we had to do. This is what we had to do for right now.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong.
Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.